Welcome to another Sport and Lifestyle Biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. This week we have three amazing guests. We have part two of interviews from top jockey in Ireland, Danny Mullins, and Alexis Spans, all the way from America, about her football journey. And joining us for the first time this week is Abby, a Green Bay Packers superfan and talking all NFL. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we hope you enjoy the show. You'll never stop. We start this week with Alexis Spans from Virginia about her football journey. So you're on about your drive and your ambition and what keeps you motivated. Sadly, at the moment, you're going through a post-operation on an ACL injury. Please, can you tell us about this and how it affected you, but how your recovery was going and the strength that you have inside you to stay positive and keep working hard?
So, yeah, I tore my ACL on Sunday night, and I remember the pregame music being really loud, and the crowd was the biggest it had ever been all season. So I tore my ACL on the second play of the game. It was a corner kick, and no one was around me. Yeah. And I just remember pivoting, and I was down, and the clock stopped. This was my first injury that I've ever had, and I'm so thankful that this was the only one. But, you know, it's a hard injury. So it was May 25th that I tore my ACL, which was 6 days before the dead period ended and 11 days before my first ID camp. As soon as I tore my ACL, I started prehab. And my recovery now is going fantastic. 7 months post ACL surgery. Yeah. I have an amazing team from my physical therapist, strength and conditioning coach, technical trainer, and all are there pushing me and motivating me every single session. And I'm hoping to start playing games in February, which is really soon. And I've been also practicing with my club team, you know, which inspires me to get back where I was, and they motivate me and like, you got this, Alexis, which is, you know, because this, through this process, I've kind of been training by myself yeah. with my training. But now I have teammates around me supporting me, and, you know, they know what I'm capable of, so they hold me to that standard.
That is wonderful to hear. There's two players that we work with over here. One just turned 18. She was in England camp and plays for a club called London Bees. And then there's Alenia, who is one of our ambassadors. She plays for Watford, was on the verge of the England squad, and they've both had ACL operations. The younger girl's more advanced. She's about 6 months post-operation. Eleni is only about a week post-operation. So I know how hard it is as an injury to get. You sound very positive. You brace that your teammates will help you. It is important, isn't it, to stay on top of it and positive, because it is an injury that you can go into your shell quite easily, which I think probably prolongs your recovery period.
Yeah, it definitely is an injury where you have to stay positive. And even though I'm really positive right now, I have my days yeah. when, you know, I come home crying, I go to practice and I'm like, I wasn't able to hit these long balls, or I don't look like myself. And, you know, it's hard in that moment, but the next day I'm kind of motivated. Like, I want to get that back. I want to get this skill how it was and even better.
Brilliant. So, yeah, Alexis, thank you obviously for going on about how positive it is you need to be when you do have injuries. It's important we try and get this message across to the younger girls as well. Just because they're young doesn't mean they're not going to get injuries. If you could just tell us a little bit about your recovery and the different stages and where you are up to right now. I know you said you're looking to play next month, which is amazing. Tell us about your recovery, where you are now, and what you're looking to do between now and game time.
Yeah, so with this injury, which I didn't realize how it was prior to getting injured, you lose all the strength in your whole leg, all the muscle that you once have. So when I first got injured, it was just prehab till surgery, just try to strengthen the muscle and gain the muscle in the quad and the hamstring back. And then after surgery, I made smaller goals. So my first goal was to ride the bike, like the stationary bike. Yep. The second goal I had was to walk without the brace locked, because for the first, I'm pretty sure, 6 weeks, you have to sleep in a locked brace, which was terrible. But it gets easier, because once you get off that brace, you have more freedom. And then it just goals transition to being able to walk down the steps, to being able to take a shower standing without the brace on, to being able to run and then, you know, practice with your team. So you definitely have to break the recovery up and just try to look at small goals at a time, because if you go from, you know, I want to play soccer again, it seems impossible that you're going to get there. But when you do small things and you celebrate this every little accomplishment you have, it really motivates you to keep going, and that, you know, you're strong enough to get through this.
Brilliant. That's really nice to hear. A great message to everybody. So what's your next step for you between now and game time?
My next step right now is just getting my touches back, getting all my skills that I had, because not playing soccer for 7 months, you don't realize how you lose, but you lose a lot of skills. And I want to get these skills back before I get seen on the field.
Yeah, and fitness, I presume, is another huge thing that you have to overcome, because they tend to say if you're an ultra-fit person, every week you can't train. It's almost like losing 3 weeks of fitness. How have you managed to build that up? Are you happy where you are at the moment with your fitness?
So I've never really been, like, I guess, this unfit, because you weren't able to run the first, probably, I would say, I think 5 months.
Okay.
So once I could a treadmill and I started doing, okay, let's run 1 mile and then 2 miles and 3 miles. So they got easier. But now at the 6 month mark, I was able to start running outside, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
So right now I'm happy with my fitness, but I think playing on the field and being able to scrimmage, that's when the fitness, you know, you get more fit.
Just that final detail, isn't the last 2 or 3% gets you match fit, gets you match sort of wear and tear, really, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? It gets you ready. And how are you confidence-wise using your knee? Are you happy where you're at? Do you think it might take you a bit of time to get back into the confidence of going into challenges, or have you overcome that and you're just ready, can't wait to get fit and ready to go?
Yeah, so I'm technically not clear to do contact yet, so I've been focusing on, like, smaller goals about getting my skills back, like long balls and being able to jump up with both feet and head the ball. And I definitely think it is going to be a confidence thing when going in for tackles and going in for corner kicks. But yeah, I think with repetition, it will get easier and easier to do the things that scare you right now.
Yeah. And you said that you went up for a corner kick when you injured your knee. Mm-hmm.
I did.
Yeah. Alenia actually just went up for a header. And what I would be interested to find out is, you may be okay going in for challenges because it wasn't a challenge. It may be actually when you're in the air, it will be interesting to see. So if we could follow you on your recovery and getting back into football, that would be amazing.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds great.
Brilliant. Thank you. So obviously you had to deal with a tremendously sad thing when you got injured, something that could easily challenge your mental health. On top of that, the world had its own challenge, COVID-19, so you almost had a double whammy thrown at you. You had to stay positive. You couldn't train with your friends and you had to do everything on your own. You obviously were recovering from your operation during some part of that. Did you almost see it as, well, it's a good time to get injured if I am? Or was it a real hardship for you to have sort of football and your life to a certain extent sort of restricted?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL, I would say, at the heels of COVID. So it was when things were starting to pick up here, when the dead period was about to be lifted. So okay. College coach, you. So I just kept training throughout COVID so I can be in the best playing shape for when the season started.
Right.
And my confidence was really high. And then, you know, in the blink of an eye, I tore my ACL. So it was hard because it was at the end of, you know, the process when, you know, things were kind of getting back to quote unquote normal. So yeah, it was definitely harder because it wasn't at the beginning. I was wondering why now, like why at the end, after all these months I've been putting in this work, trying to be the best that I can in front of these college coaches.
And I presume you had friends, family, and important people around you. How important was that network to keep you happy and positive?
It was awesome. They were with me every step of the way, driving me to PT sessions, watching me, making my videos that I post weekly to try to motivate me and inspire me to keep working.
Brilliant. It's wonderful to hear, and it is important. I don't think people value that until they need it. So it's wonderful that you had so much support from everybody. Now, something else I just want to touch on, a nice little snippet, is I understand that you have many qualities and have won many awards outside of football. Just tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, so I'm part of the National Honor Society, which is where there's like a pool of students and they pick you based on your grades and what volunteer opportunities you do. So I'm part of that as of this year. I'm also National Academy Sports Medicine certified, which means I'm a certified personal trainer. So I took the test last year, and so now I can train people. I also volunteer for the Loudoun County Medical Reserve Corps, where we help with local emergencies. I've had the opportunity to help out with COVID. So at the beginning, it was about, you know, people would call and ask, like, hey, questions about COVID. And then it transitioned to helping them get the vaccines and getting vaccinated. And then towards the end, you work at the sites, the vaccination sites, and, you know, you help with site flow and you watch people after they get their shot to make sure they're okay. And then the last thing that the award that I have is my sophomore year, I was student teacher of the year. So in early childhood class, I won that award.
Wow, that's just amazing. So you, not only a talented footballer, you're an all-round great person and very talented in other things as well.
Thank you so much, yeah.
No, that's great, especially someone of your young age, putting others first, doing, you know, what you feel you need to do. So that's really amazing. And congratulations on the awards that you've won.
Thank you.
That's okay. No problem. So the future, once you're back and playing, obviously we know you want to just move forward in your football, get back, continue your pathway to improvement. Do you have any hopes and dreams for the near future and then further on? Or are you just in your mindset, getting back, playing, getting to a standard, and then sort of readdress any goals?
Yeah, so my near future goal is to continue playing soccer in college, and I want to study biology or exercise science in college. And then my further future goal is to attend medical school. And after medical school, I want to be a medical oncologist at a children's hospital.
Wow, so you have all got it mapped out. And again, it's a selfless job. You know, you're wanting to help others. Is that your firm mindset and you're only going to come away from that if for some reason you can't make it? Is that locked in for you?
It is. Yeah, I love kids and I love helping people.
Wow. Amazing. Honestly, can't not say anything but good things. The only sad thing about this is that we've come almost to the end of today's interview, but we've already spoken that we're going to do this more times and we're going to have you on podcasts as well, because you've just come across amazingly well. But just before we let you go, we have to ask you if you can just give some words of advice and encouragement to the young girls that we coach, and also all the young boys and girls that listen to the show. There is many of them. And maybe perhaps just reiterate the sacrifices you have to make. Doesn't matter whether you're age 10 or you're 18.
So the first piece of advice I would give is keep pushing when no one is watching. So keep training when you go on vacation, when your club team's not practicing, before school. My second piece of advice is when coaches and teammates tell you that you are not good enough, use that as motivation to prove them wrong. And then my last piece of advice is you aren't faced with more than you can handle, meaning when you don't make a team or you get injured, you can always overcome it, even though in that moment it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel, but there is.
Brilliant. I couldn't have put it better myself. You know, work hard, never get down. The world is always watching, so almost backing up what you said, that keep training when no one's watching, it will show to your coach and in life if you don't train when you're out the public eye. So yeah, absolutely brilliant. I couldn't have put it better myself. Well, Alexis, for today, I'm sad to say that that's it. And I just want to thank you so much for your time. We look forward to catching up with another interview very soon.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Alexis. That was an unbelievable interview. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
The station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain?
B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
And now the quality keeps on coming. It's part two of Danny Mullins. You mentioned a horse that probably wouldn't go to Cheltenham, and that's Kenboy. He was a horse that you had a Grade 1 victory on last year, and he's run well in a number of occasions. Probably hadn't shown the level of form until you won on him. Probably two of Ruby's last big winners before he retired, when he won on him at Aintree and then at Punchestown. It must have been great to get a Grade 1 on him last year.
Yeah, you know, he was very good at the Dublin Festival, and he's a horse that, you know, really enjoys Leopardstown, and he's disappointed maybe in Cheltenham then, but, you know, he's won around Aintree before as well, so I'd imagine that could be a target for him.
Yeah.
This season again.
Do you think it's just a case of giving him a look at his fences and getting him into a rhythm?
Ah, you know, yeah, he has his own running style as well, so it's good, you know, to get him out there and get him enjoying how he goes, but, you know, hopefully he'll have a few good days as well through the rest of the spring.
Yeah, and he certainly deserves it. He's a wonderful horse. And the last horse we're going to touch on for your Grade Ones, Danny, before we move just on to about you in the future and if you've had any hiccups through COVID, etc. I don't know whether it's your biggest winner, but it was at the Cheltenham Festival. It was on Florin Porter in the Stayers Hurdle. Again, another great ride on that. What was your feeling through the race and as you crossed the line at the festival?
Yeah, it was very good, you know. He was my first festival winner in Cheltenham, and he's a horse that has his own way of doing things, you know. His mindset is the main thing. You just have to keep right, and, you know, everything went to plan in Cheltenham and got the job done. He was a very good winner of the race on the day, and hopefully going back again this year, it'll be a competitive race, but he'll be banging in the mix.
Yeah, I think so. As you said, he was a very, very good winner. Having said that, you rode him over the Christmas festival last week. There seemed to be a bit of a hiccup at the start. Did that actually cost him the race? Or could it have gone either way?
Who knows? What happened in Leopardstown is in the past, so yeah. We'll work on towards Cheltenham. I think he'll have a good chance of turning around the form at Cheltenham.
Yeah, Classical Dream's now the favourite. It's a very good horse. It won a Supreme Novice Hurdle, so we know it's got talent. Obviously, that's over a mile less. Yeah, there was a lot of debate, you know, whether the starter should have stopped it or not. But as you said, it's the past. It can't be changed. And even that run, despite losing that ground at the start, certainly puts him bang in the mix, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's proved that he's got every bit of the engine we believed he had.
Yeah.
And, you know, that performance in Leopardstown, even being second to Classical, I think is probably a step up in what he achieved winning the Stayers Hurdle last year, and we've got a bit of wiggle room for more improvement.
Lovely. Great to hear, because Classical Dream, as you said, is a worthy sort of horse to be favourite. He's that sort of quality, or he appears to, from, you know, not being involved with him.
Yeah, you know, since Classical has been stepped up to 3 miles, he's been very good, and, you know, he'll be difficult to beat again come Cheltenham, but we'll respect him, we won't fear him.
Absolutely. Nice way of putting it. You're there, and I think you've got every chance, as you said. So we're going to finish off, Danny. We're going to let you get off. We know you're on the way to the races as we speak. Just a couple of quick things, if I may chat to you. Did you have to do anything differently to keep yourself mentally and physically fit during COVID? Interesting to hear the life of a jockey rather than somebody that plays football in a team where you're used to training together, if that makes sense. I know you ride out, but your own personal fitness.
My personal fitness, I suppose I'm lucky enough. I have my own sort of gym where I could keep doing my exercises and my weights and stuff like that. I do maybe one day a week of weightlifting to keep me in tip-top shape, but I don't think much of that changed for me during COVID. I was still able to get the work I needed done.
And a shame that crowds in Ireland have now been stopped for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, not ideal, but I think hopefully it'll come back again soon enough.
Yeah, exactly. The main thing is we keep racing.
That's it, you know. All the regulations are there. We've been able to get through it before, and I don't see a reason why, with different adjustments, we can't keep moving forward as we have done in the past.
Brilliant. And just to finish off, what's the hopes and dreams for 2022 for Danny Mullins?
I'm not really one for making any huge plans or that, but, you know, to ride at the best of my ability, hopefully that's recognised by all the top trainers and owners, which will lead me to the opportunities to perform at the best of my ability if I can get on the right horses.
Brilliant. Fantastically put. Danny, for today, I want to say thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure, and I really appreciate you giving your time up.
Thanks a million, John. Chat to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks, Danny. Third and final interview this week. We have something special for you. It's the first time we have real NFL chat, and we're talking to Green Bay Packers superfan, Abby. Well, everyone, joining us this week to tell us a little bit about the conference finals that happened last weekend and also a short preview on the Super Bowl 56 in 2 weeks' time, it's Green Bay Packers superfan, Abby. Hi, Abby, how are you?
Hi, yeah, I'm all good, thank you.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining us and for giving us your insight of the conference finals that happened last weekend. If we could start, please, with the Rams 49ers game that saw the Rams win 2017.
Yeah, so the Rams were actually at home. So obviously, there's always the home field advantage there. I wanted the Rams to win because the 49ers beat us last week. It's sort of a slow start, and with about 7 minutes to go, it was actually 17-17. So it like a tight draw with 1 minute 46 left on the clock. The 49ers had the ball, so it seemed that it would be in their favour. But the Rams managed to intercept that and actually win the game 2017 to win the NFC Championship.
And that's obviously a great win. I've got on my notes that at the end of Q3, the 49ers were actually 17-7 in front. And it would have been remarkable if they had have won, because they would have beaten two of the top teams. They had a really hard draw, didn't they, to get through. But as you said, they were intercepted. They won 2017, the Rams, which uniquely means they qualify for the Super Bowl. And it's the second year in a row that one of the teams in the final is actually playing on their home field.
Yeah, the Super Bowl this year is at SoFi Stadium, which is home of the Rams and the Chargers. So yeah, the Rams would be playing at home, which should give them a unique advantage, especially with the crowd there.
Yeah, and obviously, as I mentioned, it's second year in a row, because last year it was in Tampa, wasn't it? The Raymond James Stadium, and Tampa actually beat the Chiefs in the final last year with home field advantage. So the Rams, as you said, won 2017. Two touchdown passes from Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, so he's actually played for the Detroit Lions for, I think it was 13 years.
Okay.
It's a massive, massive year for him. Obviously, he was drafted to the Rams in 2021, so last year. So, yeah, it's a big deal for him to get this far, especially having been played for the Lions.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, when we say local, I know America's a huge place, but obviously LA Rams taking on San Francisco 49ers. And no luck again for Jimmy Garoppolo. Two touchdowns himself, but on the losing side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably biased because obviously I'm a Packers supporter. So, yeah, it was nice to see the 49ers get knocked out. But I also think we beat ourselves during that game. So I didn't have as high hopes for the 49ers. I was rooting for the Rams all the way.
Just touching on yourselves, I thought that last weekend, I actually thought the Packers were going to win it, to be fair. Them or the Chiefs, who are now both out. Yeah, you did throw it away a little bit, which brings us on to the next match. Again, throwing it away. I thought at halftime or sometime in Q2, in the match between Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals, who were the outsider of the whole team with eight teams left in it. Inside the second quarter, the Kansas City Chiefs are 21-3 up, yet the Cincinnati Bengals produced an amazing comeback and won in overtime, 27-24.
It's crazy when you think about it. Joe Burrow's, I think it's on his, he's on his second year.
Yeah.
He tore his ACL last year, so he's come back from injury. And yeah, like, it's just absolutely crazy. It's like a fairy tale for the Bengals fans.
Yeah.
Like a complete fairy tale, because it literally, they've played in two Super Bowls before and they've lost both times to the 49ers.
Right. And that's amazing. And talking of quarterbacks, you've touched on Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. People say he's going to be the greatest ever quarterback. Three touchdowns yesterday, which means he'd done nothing wrong on the offense. Couple of interceptions, though. Do you think he's still growing in those big games? Do you think he's got a weakness, or do you think it's just a case of being unlucky again, like last year in the final?
I think he was unlucky. I mean, they won the coin toss after going to overtime, and that means that if you win the coin toss, you get the ball.
Yeah.
So it's all in your favour then. That's how they won last week.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mahomes is super talented. He's 25 or 26.
Yeah, very young.
Yeah, he's got a massive future ahead of him. You just got to see some of the plays. Like, it looked like he was dancing. Yeah. Went around some of the players and then threw the ball, and you just think, how did he do that?
Yeah, it was the first touchdown yesterday that was caught by, obviously, Travis Kelce, who catches a lot of theirs, when he sort of turned actually three or four different ways and almost ran into traffic, but his feet got him out of trouble, and then he found Kelce in the end zone for the first touchdown.
I was in shock. Even I put a tweet out about it saying, wow, because it one of those things, it doesn't look real. You think, how did he do that? He got past so many players by literally just, his turn of foot.
It was amazing. And I mean, I don't know the guy, obviously, but he seems to have the character that he's actually going to build from that rather than getting him down. Obviously, getting beat in the Super Bowl final last year, and he was schooled a little bit by Tom Brady, but that's no bad thing, you know, most people are. And then and then getting beat in the conference final this year from almost an unbeatable position.
I thought it was all over when it was 21-3. I was like, there's no way the Bengals will come back from this. It looked like they were down and out, but they really came back. I think everyone in the NFL community was ridiculously impressed. And like you said earlier, Joe Burrow had a torn ACL last year.
Wow.
It's his second year playing professionally for the NFL, and you just think, his career is going to be massive as well, I think.
He's got a certain talent. Just agreeing with you, basically, when it was 21-3. I think if it had been 21-3 the other way, people wouldn't have thought it was over. But because it was the Chiefs in front at home with Patrick Mahomes handling the ball, I think everyone thought 21-3, that's it.
Well, it was at Arrowhead as well, so they were playing at home, the Chiefs.
Mm.
What was an incredible thing was when you could hear the Bengals fans doing their Who Dey chant in the crowd. It was absolutely crazy, and obviously they drew. It was 24-24 at the end of the fourth quarter, and they did the coin toss, which obviously went in the Chiefs' favour last week, went in their favour this week, so we thought it was all over. And then obviously the Bengals managed to intercept the ball, and then McPherson managed to get them to win with a kick.
Yeah, because usually in that overtime, because it's almost like goal, almost, as you say, expect the team with the ball to win, and it's just a drive down to within sort of 40-50 yards, isn't it, really? And then they go for the field goal.
Yeah, I think the coin toss, and I think a lot of people agree with this, I don't really agree with it as a rule, because you're literally giving favour to the people over a coin toss. It's like a 50-50 chance, which is what the Bills played a fantastic game, not this weekend, the previous weekend, and the coin toss went against them, and they lost, even though they played an absolutely fantastic game. So I think everyone thought the Chiefs have this locked up now, especially with the coin toss.
Yeah, and just touching on the Bills, they had a really good season as well, didn't they?
I was really impressed. Like, obviously I follow my team closely, but fair play to them. They had a good season, and I was gutted for them last week. I think I'd have been more heartbroken being a Bills fan, 100%, because of the way theirs ended. We just played badly.
It happens though sometimes, that's the problem, isn't it? It happens, and I've seen on Twitter and social media people moaning about the stats and that, but you're a great side, and sometimes it's not even if you bottle it, just sometimes things don't go your way. You can't always perform at your best.
No, we were the number one seed, obviously. All the Packers fans were crazy. Like, it's a shame, because at the same time, it was such a Packers thing to happen. But our specials team needs a rejig. The coach,
To lose a touchdown like that's almost unforgivable, isn't it, really?
Yeah, everyone was really upset this week, and I think it was because we did throw the game away ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't know what else to say on that.
Yeah, well, sometimes if you get outplayed, you have to put your hands up and just say, we were beaten by a better team. But when you physically throw it away yourself, it's different.
I think it was gutting, because people are, the 49ers won, we beat you. And it was like, no, actually, we beat ourselves. We could have been better.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers, we could have beat them easily if our team came out and played as they've played in other games this year and the previous year, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, they actually nearly did get through to the final as well, playing the Rams as well on their home stadium. So they're not a bad side, you just made it easy for them.
Yeah, 100%. I'll always be a Packers fan. That's not going to change. But sometimes you are upset about the result because you just see that it could have gone so differently. Yeah. We should have played yesterday.
Yes.
110%. Yeah. But
yeah, and it is a shame. As you said, you were number one seeds. You were in great form. But there you go. Anyway, we'll move on now to 2 weeks' time. Sunday the 13th of February and Super Bowl 56, as you said, hold at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, which is home of the Los Angeles Rams, or as they're better known, the LA Rams, playing the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been the outsiders since the playoffs started, I think. They've been not looked at as winners. Do you think the Rams are A, strong enough, can handle the pressure and take advantage of home court or home field?
I think home field is always an advantage. Obviously, you've got your home crowd, you're used to it. And also, so the Rams have won the Super Bowl in 2000. They've been in four Super Bowls, whereas the Bengals have never won a Super Bowl. So their mentality going into that, I'm not really sure. I mean, I think that they're on an even keel. I mean, it would be fantastic to see Joe Burrow win.
Yeah.
But equally, it would be fantastic to see Stafford win on his 13th season. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it a little bit like last year was billed, quarterback v quarterback, i.e. Stafford versus Burrow? Or is there more to these teams? Are they more not as reliant on their quarterbacks?
I think that's a difficult one. I mean, having a good quarterback can save the game.
Yes.
But obviously, yeah, if your offense or your defense isn't playing as well, or as a team, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
So I think, the one thing with NFL is, I think obviously it's normally people look at it and think, oh, the quarterback, that is the game. But no, there's specials teams as well. So, and you've just got to look, McPherson was drafted as a kicker for the Bengals.
Yeah.
And I think he's 10 from 10. On his kicks.
Right.
And he kicked the winner yesterday, so I think that is definitely going to go in their favour as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anyone would be happy to see either team win, unless you're obviously a super fan of the Bengals or the Rams, because I wouldn't say so much underdogs, but at the same time, they are. I mean, it's massive for the Bengals to win their first Super Bowl.
Amazing.
With the quarterback on his second season.
Yeah.
It would be insane.
Yeah, no, it sounds amazing. I mean, last year's Super Bowl was billed, rightly and wrongly, as quarterback v quarterback, because Brady and Mahomes are so good, but it's a little bit almost to the detriment of the other players. But you're saying this year, even though the quarterbacks are both very important and both very good, there's more to these teams as well. You know, it's about which team turns up as a team rather than just the quarterbacks.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't even know if it's been confirmed now, but obviously Brady played for 22 seasons and now he's apparently retired. We don't really know. And yeah, I think also for the Bucks not to have reached the Super Bowl is massive as well. So I think it's literally an underdog v underdog game, this one.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you've just given us a lovely link into the final part of this interview, Abby. So I thank you for that. I want to just touch on two quarterbacks coming towards the end of their careers. We've spoken on the future, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, who had so many great years with the Patriots, won all the Super Bowls, was stolen almost, or bought by Tampa, came down, won the Super Bowl for the first year that he was there, and probably they expected almost to win it again this year, if you think about it, but it just come unstuck, and there are reports flying around he's retired. And the other quarterback I want you to touch on is your own one, Rodgers, who has had a great career with Packers, probably at times kept you afloat on his own, and he's getting lots of bad press on social media unfairly. Do you think he's going to call it a day, or is he going to have one more shot?
I think the Brady news will probably impact his decision, but obviously there's the rumours flew around last year as well, but apparently he stayed in Green Bay, and he's spoken to Matt LaFleur, our coach, he stayed in Green Bay for a little while. I know, I think Devontae Adams didn't, so that might be an indicator, but I think personally I don't think he'll go to another team.
Right.
I can't see that. And with Brady gone, I could see him coming for us another year and trying to get that Super Bowl, because obviously we haven't won the Super Bowl since 2011. This would be massive for the team. I mean, we had it in us this year. I'm not saying we bottled it, just things didn't go our way. We didn't play as well in the last couple of games. But I could be proved wrong. There's the rumours flying around that he's going to the Broncos because one of our coaches has gone to the Broncos.
Oh, okay.
No, I think that's more hearsay. I try not to stress myself out with it, because obviously it's my team's. When I read about it, I get a bit
sadly, it's one of them things that you can only deal with when it's announced. So those last 3 points, we're going for an LA Rams victory at home in Super Bowl 56. We think Tom Brady might hang his boots up, and we think Rodgers may stay with the Green Bay Packers for another go.
I could be hopeful for that, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, for this one, Abby, for today, I want to say thank you so much for your time. You've given us a great insight in last week and potentially the teams and also the result for Super Bowl 56. And we'll catch up with you again the week after Super Bowl 56, and you can tell us all about the game.
Perfect, thank you. Hopefully it plays out how we want it to, and it's a great game to watch.
That's the main thing. Anyway, Abby, thank you for today. Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We finish off this week's show with, of course, our famous SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, tennis, NBA, NFL and football. We start with golf, and the PGA Tour had the Farmers Insurance Open from the Torrey Pines Golf Course using the South Course, that's in San Diego. It was won by Luke List on minus 15 after beating Will Zalatoris in a playoff at the first hole. Jason Day, John Rahm and Cameron Tringale were joint third, just one shot behind. This week, we see the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am at Pebble Beach Golf Course in California. On the European Tour, it was the Dubai Desert Classic at the Majlis Course, and it was won by one of our favourite golfers, Victor Hovland. He beat Richard Bland in a playoff after they both finished at 12 under par, and he won that on the first hole. Rory McIlroy finished one shot further back in third, having come to the last hole level with the top two, only to bogey the par five after going into the water. This week, it's the Ras Al Khaimah Championship from the Alhambra Golf Course. The LPGA had the Gainbra LPGA Tournament at the Boca Rio Golf Course in Florida, and it was won by in-form Lydia Ko. She finished at 14 under par, one shot clear of last week's winner Danielle Kang, and a further shot back to Yuka Sasso in third place. This weekend, it's the Drive-On Championship from the Crown Colony Golf and Country Club in Florida. On to horse racing, and last weekend, the big meeting at Cheltenham held three big trials for the championships in March. The Cotswold Chase was won by Chantry House. The Cleve Hurdle was won by Paisley Park after being left 20 lengths, and the Old Stager rolled back the years. And the Triumph Hurdle trial was won by a horse at the other end of his jumping career. Pied Piper, fresh off the flat from John Gosden, absolutely destroyed the field in the Triumph Hurdle trial. Holly Doyle has ridden 17 winners in January and is on course to break her record from 2021. And I just want to say congratulations to two friends and two amazing people, Holly Doyle and Tom Marcond, have to set a date to tie the knot, and it's this March. On to tennis, and the first Grand Slam of the season, the Australian Open, has just finished, and the men's was won by record breaker Rafael Nadal. The tournament was made a little bit easier for him, with Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic neither making the start. However, Player of the Year in 2021, Daniil Medvedev, made things very, very difficult. Rafa came from 2 sets to 0 down in the final to win 3 sets to 2, 2-6, 6-7, 6-4, 6-4, 7-5 in an unbelievable match. And that puts him just in front at the head of the all-time Grand Slam winning list. He's now on 21 with Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic on 20. The next Grand Slam is the French Open from Roland Garros. Rafa's favourite court. He's won 13 times there. Will he make it number 22 and go 2 in front? The women's singles was won by hometown favourite Ashley Barty, who since winning her first Grand Slam in 2019 and then winning Wimbledon last year, has really taken the sport by the scruff of the neck and has won her third Grand Slam, this time the first in our home country. And she didn't drop a set all the way through, winning the final over Danielle Collins, 6-3, 7-6. On to NBA and some catch-up results from the last week. Cavaliers 95, Knicks 93, Thunder 110, Bulls 111, Suns 115, Jazz 109, 76ers 117, Pelicans 107, Wizards 115, Clippers 116. Nets 95, Lakers 106, Celtics 128, Kings 75, Golden State Warriors 130, Mavericks 92, Magic 102, Clippers 111, Cavs 115, Bucks 99, Heat 110, Knicks 96, Bulls 111, Raptors 105, Nets 118, Nuggets 124, Jazz 97, Suns 105, 76ers 105, Lakers 87, Golden State Warriors 124, Timberwolves 115, Heat 121, Clippers 114, Grizzlies 119, Jazz 109, Suns 134, Timberwolves 124, Bucks 123, Knicks 108, Golden State Warriors 110, Nets 106, Hornets 90, Clippers 115, Hawks 129, Lakers 121, Bulls 130, Trailblazers 116, Suns 115, Spurs 110, Knicks 116, Kings 96, and Rockets 108, Golden State Warriors 122. The top eight in each of the conferences are as follows. In the East, the Bulls still lead the way on 31-18. Second are the Heat on 32-19. And third are the 76ers on 31-19. Fourth, the Cavs, 31-20. And fifth are the Bucks, 31-21. The Nets are sixth on 29-20. Hornets are seventh on 28-23. And the Raptors are eighth on 25-23. The West is led by the Suns on an unbelievable 40-9. Second are the Golden State Warriors, 38-13. And third are the Grizzlies, 35-18. The Jazz are fourth on 30-21. Nuggets fifth, 28-21. Mavericks are sixth on 29-22. Timberwolves are seventh on 25-25. And the Clippers are eighth on 26-27. On to NFL. And as per the brilliant piece by Abby earlier on in the show, I can confirm that the conference finals were won by the LA Rams, who beat the 49ers 20-17 with 2 touchdowns apiece for the quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford and Jimmy Garoppolo. And the other conference was won by the Cincinnati Bengals, who came from 21-3 down to beat Patrick Mahomes and his Kansas City Chiefs 27-24. Despite Patrick Mahomes sending 3 touchdown passes for scores, he also had 2 interceptions, and Jimmy Burrows on his season back after hurting his ACL, as Abby had previously said to us, was brilliant. And the final, the Super Bowl, is now held on the 13th of February at the SoFi Stadium, home of the Rams. Can the Bengals do it again? We finish off our SLB sports roundup with football and some catch-up Premier League results. Watford 0, Norwich 3, Everton 0, Aston Villa 1, Brentford 1, Wolverhampton 2, Leeds 0, Newcastle 1, Manchester United 1, West Ham 0 with a last-minute winner by Marcus Rashford, Southampton 1, Man City 1, Crystal Palace 1, Liverpool 3, Arsenal 0, Burnley 0, Leicester 1, Brighton 1, Chelsea 2, Tottenham 0. The top four in the Premier League are as follows. Manchester City played 23, 57 points. Liverpool played 22, 48 points. Chelsea a third, played 24 with 47 points. Manchester United find themselves in fourth, played 22 with 38 points. Some catch-up and midweek fixtures for you. Burnley versus Watford, Newcastle versus Everton, West Ham versus Watford and Burnley versus Manchester United, Norwich versus Crystal Palace, Tottenham versus Southampton, Manchester City versus Brentford, Aston Villa versus Leeds, Liverpool versus Leicester and Wolves versus Arsenal. This weekend is FA Cup weekend and some highlighted fixtures. Manchester United versus Middlesbrough, Kidderminster versus West Ham, Chelsea versus Plymouth, Manchester City versus Fulham, Everton versus Brentford and an all-premiership tie, Tottenham versus Brighton. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, guys, that's the end of another brilliant, brilliant show. I want to say huge thanks to Danny Mullins for part two of his interview. Also, Alexis Spans, all the way from America, and part two of hers. And a new guest to the show, the brilliant Abby, who is all about NFL. She's given us her thoughts on the conference finals and also the Super Bowl that's coming up in 2 weeks. I'll say thank you to all of those guys and all of our sponsors and, of course, you, the listeners. We look forward to you tuning in next week. Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.